Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Listen with other, because grown-ups need story time too. The Interchange by Ray Newman.
Extracts from National Highways Report number 1727A, subject M5 Interchange, author redacted, UK Home Office eyes only. 1. The Brough Family. On Monday the 4th of May, the Brough family were in a pale silver 2018 Honda Jazz, returning to Nuneaton after a seaside holiday at Weston-super-Mare. At 10:18, Emma Brough, 37, FaceTimed relatives from Clapton in Gordano motorway service station, reporting that all was well and that the family expected to arrive home at around midday. When they had not arrived by 1500, Mrs. Brough's mother, Anne Baker, called the police. She was told to wait 24 hours and that nothing could be done until it was certain there was a problem. A description of the vehicle was, however, passed to police forces in Gloucestershire and Worcestershire. At 21:18, Mrs. Baker received further communication by FaceTime. This call lasted approximately 2 seconds. It was dark, the car was in motion, and her daughter was incoherent and apparently upset. The signal broke up and it has not been possible to trace the location from which the call was made. On Tuesday the 5th of May, when the Broughs had still not arrived home, Gloucestershire and Worcestershire Police instituted a search along the length of the M5 and its junctions. There was no sign of the vehicle. The working assumption was made that Paul Brough, 39, had taken his family to an unknown location against their will, for reasons also unknown. Two. Silver and Foreman. On Friday the 8th of May, a second vehicle, a 2008 Ford Fiesta in race red, was reported missing, along with its driver, Ed Silver, 26, and passenger, Samantha Foreman, 27. This time, data from a location tracking application installed on Ms. Foreman's iPhone 11 was available. A road policing unit, RPU, team from Gloucestershire Constabulary was dispatched to the last known location of Mr. Silver's vehicle, which was Old Barn Roundabout, one of the sub-roundabouts feeding into and routing traffic from the interchange. Police constables Nadim Shah and Lola Gregory claimed to have conducted a thorough search of ditches and shrubbery surrounding the roundabout. They found no signs of a recent road traffic accident or of any vehicle having come off the carriageway. While this was not recorded in her official report, PC Gregory later mentioned to the area road policing sergeant that substantial recent work appeared to have been conducted at the roundabout, namely the construction of an additional exit. 3. The new exit at Old Barn. On Monday the 11th of May, Sergeant Gina Kwiatkowska, Area Road Policing Sergeant, Gloucestershire Constabulary, conducted an inspection of Old Barn Roundabout. She called in to report that there was indeed a new exit at the roundabout not indicated on signage. Its road surface was fresh. She informed the control room operator that she intended to follow this new route to check for evidence of Silver and Foreman. She signed off from this call at 0941 and then, apparently, disappeared. There was some intermittent contact with the GPS tracker system in her vehicle between 0958 and 1107, placing it at various off-road locations between carriageways, apparently still in motion. Contact ceased completely after that time. Additional units were dispatched between 1115 and midday, with instructions from Inspector Robert Litton, Gloucestershire Constabulary RPU, to cordon off the new exit. The working assumption at this time was that a partially constructed access or service road had been opened prematurely and that the road surface beyond was unsafe. Inspector Litton arrived on the scene at 12:12 and ordered an on-foot inspection of the new exit road by PCs Sean Brown and Hannah Penn-Dennis. Radio contact was broken at 12:20, and when neither officer had returned after an hour, Inspector Litton gave orders that nobody was to pass the cordon. He requested a flyover by a helicopter from the National Police Air Service station at Haldon. The helicopter took off at 12:40 and completed several circuits of the perimeter of the search area and two passes over the area, east to west, north to south. The tactical flight officer, Constable Jack Farnell, compared the situation on the ground with digital maps and satellite imagery and with paper ordnance survey maps. He was able to observe the new exit as far as a copse, where it passed out of view beneath spring foliage. A further stretch of road seemed to emerge from the copse and curve towards the interchange, passing out of view beneath the raised carriageway of the M4. He observed no traffic on this new road. Four, national highways. Inspector Litton's priorities at this point were to A, find his missing officers and ensure their welfare. B, prevent further potential disappearances, injury or loss of life. C, understand when and why the new road was built and by whom. On point C, he ordered contact to be made with the Department for Transport and National Highways. An asset management officer, Cheryl Scorse, was assigned the case via Herbert, the internal job management and ticketing system. She set out to attend the site immediately, arriving at around 14:30 on Monday the 11th of May. She was able to confirm that no application had been made to construct a new road, nor any permission given for such work to go ahead. The road did not appear on any of National Highway's own comprehensive technical maps. From an inspection of the section of road approaching the police cordon, she was able to confirm that it was properly constructed with a high standard of finish, in line with National Highway standards. Ms. Scores requested permission to explore the road, but permission was denied by Inspector Litton. He instead gave her access to video footage shot by the NPAS helicopter, which she reviewed on her laptop. She identified two moments of interest at 18 minutes 18 seconds and at 33 minutes 40 seconds, extracted as freeze frames in an annex to this report. Though blurred and obscured by digital video artifacts, she interpreted these images as showing a small red car in motion. Ms. Scores' second proposal was to attempt to find the other end of the road, under the M4 carriageway. Inspector Litton agreed to this and assigned PC Gary East to accompany her. At 15:02, Ms. Scores parked her Mitsubishi Shogun in Highways Agency livery in a secure maintenance pen alongside the M4 near Junction 16. She and PC East made their way safely down a grass verge towards the approximate location where they expected the new road to terminate or merge with another carriageway. She took multiple photographs from several angles. Neither she nor PC East were able to discern any sign of the road even when comparing the view before them with the helicopter footage. They proceeded on foot along what ought to be the route of the new road and found only impassable brambles and rubble brownfield. Five, grey infrastructure. Having secured the site, Inspector Litton returned to Area HQ. He issued a statement to the press about possible road subsidence. He then gathered a working group to address the problem and the many unanswered questions. The working assumptions were that paperwork had been lost and that construction of the road had been authorised at some point. Ms. Scorse estimated that building the road, assuming a length of just over a mile, must have taken a minimum of 18 months, making this explanation unlikely. Detective Sergeant James Crane from Gloucester CID raised the possibility of so-called grey infrastructure. He cited examples of criminal gangs renovating large city centre properties and connecting them to mains electricity so they can run them as cannabis farms. He described underground facilities of substantial scale dug out and lined with concrete, often beneath farmland, used for storage of drugs, weapons and other contraband. Elsewhere in the world, especially in Mexico, he observed, criminals had built private railways, cross-border tunnels and even fleets of functional submarines. It was possible, he argued, that this road had been built by criminals to facilitate people smuggling, drug smuggling and potentially other illegal activities. The disappearance of multiple individuals, he suggested, could be down to the presence of criminal gangs on site. His proposed solution was to send in armed officers to investigate, and he pushed for that to happen immediately, under cover of darkness on the night of Monday the 11th of May into the morning of the 12th of May. Inspector Litton authorised this operation and asked DS Crane to organise and lead it. 6. Operation Vanishing Point. DS Crane chose to call the operation Vanishing Point. A team of six MO-19 Specialist Firearms officers arrived on site at 21:45 in two BMW X5s. DS Crane briefed them under the supervision of Inspector Litton. DS Crane was, in turn, briefed by Firearms Sergeant Hitesh Gadoya and fitted with a tactical bulletproof vest in lieu of his usual stab vest. The MPAS helicopter arrived and entered a circling pattern with a searchlight tracking ahead of the convoy. The two vehicles travelled in convoy through the cordon at approximately 21:55. Sergeant Gadoya and his team were all equipped with body cameras, and both BMWs had dashboard cameras, providing a total of 8 live streams. These were monitored from a mobile unit parked in a lay-by near Old Barn Roundabout. The streams, available in full and extracted as stills in an annex to this report, present a consistent view of a standard 2-lane slip road on a steady leftward curve. The road was well lit by evenly spaced street lamps with reflective studs. As they passed beneath the trees, the road darkened briefly, but once they'd emerged, it continued as before, curving to the left. Audio was lost, however, and digital distortion began to interrupt the visual stream. At this point, 21:59, the NPAS helicopter reported that it had lost sight of the two BMWs. Inspector Litton ordered the convoy to stop and return, but his message did not reach them. The video feed was monitored until the signal was lost altogether. At 22:03, the sound of distant gunfire was heard. PC East, observing from the hard shoulder on the upper deck of the M4, reported seeing flashes consistent with the discharge of weapons. The helicopter crew did not observe anything similar. The NPAS helicopter reduced its altitude to the minimum permissible height and scanned the area with searchlight and thermal imaging cameras. The crew detected neither signs of life nor, for example, residual engine heat. Their reports also noted the absence of wildlife compared to the surrounding terrain, where there was evidence of badgers, foxes and so on. Operation Vanishing Point was declared completed at 05:32 on Tuesday the 12th of May. Seven, archival evidence. Cheryl Scores reported to Inspector Litton on the afternoon of Tuesday the 12th of May, having surveyed National Highway's civilian traffic officers who had been on patrol near the interchange in the preceding year. She produced poor quality dash cam footage. Example stills are in an annex to this document, which clearly showed highway maintenance and construction vehicles at the site of Old Barn Roundabout. They also showed semi-permanent and temporary structures such as cabins and storage areas for construction materials. Temporary flood lighting was also evident. Their dates covered a year prior to the disappearance of the Brough family, and they were taken at various times of day. No construction workers, supervisors, or security staff were visible in any of these images. Inspector Litton circulated the images to officers under his command and across the RPU with a request to report if they had also observed the site. Ms. Scorse also produced a set of large-scale technical drawings, reproduced in the annex, from 1968. She drew Inspector Litton's attention to a section of the plans depicting Old Barn Roundabout and indicated evidence of liquid paper whiting out a roadway in approximately the location of the new exit. She was unable to articulate an explanation for what this might mean, but considered it worth noting for the record. On Wednesday the 13th of May, Inspector Litton collated reports from RPU officers who had also observed the construction site but not questioned its presence. Two officers, PCs Lance Keeler and Alfie Rogers, had inspected the site, recording their observations in writing on the 4th of September last year. An extract follows. At 10:12 on Thursday the 4th of September, we observed evidence of disturbance at the construction site at Old Barn Roundabout. There was graffiti on the temporary hoardings and several windows on the site were smashed. Graffiti read, "No new roads, climate apocalypse," and similar. Approaching with the intention of speaking to the site manager, we found no construction personnel present and the security gate open. After 10 minutes, we left a communication addressed to the site manager in what we presumed to be the site office and continued our patrol. Eight. Recent updates. In the 3 months since the disappearance of the Brough family, of Silver and Foreman, and of the Operation Vanishing Point team, the site has remained cordoned off and guarded. Several further attempts to investigate have resulted in the disappearance of a platoon of soldiers from 1st Battalion the Rifles, along with multiple remotely operated drones and a mobile bomb disposal robot. We have successfully suppressed coverage in the press, but continue to field calls from members of the public travelling on the M4 or M5 and reporting sightings of abandoned vehicles on the brown field beneath the carriageways. Some sightings specify that the vehicles are on or at the side of a road. Some have been submitted with photographs, selection in annex, which seem to support these observations. Police units have been unable to replicate these sightings. One witness described a naked man running along the road, waving his arms and, though she could not hear him, apparently calling for attention. She did not take a photograph and was travelling at speed, but her description corresponds with that of Ed Silver. Nine. Next steps. We recommend that 1. The cordon at Old Barn Roundabout is made permanent with concrete barriers. 2. The roadway behind is demolished as far as possible before it becomes unsafe for crews to operate, which we estimate to be approximately 50 metres. 3. Coverage continues to be suppressed. 4. The families of those missing be compensated at the Secretary of State's discretion.
The Interchange was written and read by Ray Newman. Original music and field recordings by Ray Newman. It was mixed by Giles Booth. Listen With Other is a GSB Radio Enterprises production.